the last of 8 days. It's actually the seventh day, I believe. The eighth day is a cleanup day. But it's the last official day. Thousands upon thousands of Jewish men are chanting the Psalms. And they're all within the temple area. And they're waving their hands to the Lord. In one hand, in their left hand, they have a citrus branch. And in the right hand, they have three other branches. And there's a string tied around them, like a bow. And they're chanting Psalms to the Lord. And early in the morning that starts. In fact, early in the morning, they'll gather at the temple. And then the priest will hold a huge golden pitcher, and they will follow him to the Pool of Siloam. All the while chanting psalms and hymns. It's like a frenzy. It's getting louder and louder and louder. I believe it's probably 5 to 7 football arenas full of people worth of men chanting. You imagine that, especially during the Super Bowl. I mean, all these men chanting and their families chanting the psalms and the scriptures to the Lord. And then the high priest, they watch him dip that golden pitcher into the water. And they recite the words to Isaiah 12, verse 3. Then they follow the priest back to the temple. And he climbs up a huge ramp to the top of the altar. It's about 45 feet high. You can actually see it outside of the temple area all the way through Jerusalem. And all as he's climbing up with this vase, this pitcher of water, the men and women are chanting loudly the Psalms, the Old Testament Psalms. All of a sudden, a holy hush comes upon the people. That priest begins to pour water down into a funnel which leads around the altar to a base and over the sacrifice. At that moment, when it's still, Jesus stands out and cries. Actually, the word cry there is the word to shriek or to make a yell loud so everybody can hear. And he says, if any man thirsts, let him come after me and drink. Well, what was he doing? He was claiming to be the Messiah, God in the flesh, the one they're chanting about. Of course, that stirred the people up a great deal, and they plotted all the more to kill him. Now, leave that time. People are just getting over that event. Many put their faith and trust in Jesus as the Messiah. The evening time. There's another ceremony called the illumination, the lighting of the temple. They would light the four huge golden lamps, the big menorahs, candelabras, oh, I'd say twice as high as this building, 75 feet high. There's four. And they remind the people of the fire, the pillar of fire that guided Israel in their wilderness journey. And all night long, those four lamps, those huge lamps, great candles, illuminated all of the temple area, even out into the areas surrounding the temple and the walls around it. They say that many of the high priests would take their old garments and wrap them up and use them as wicks for that. But the most spiritual and of the male leaders in Israel, several hundreds of them, maybe several thousand, would dance and sing psalms before the Lord of praise to God during that time of lighting of those huge candles. And the celebration was a reminder that God had promised to send a light, the light, to a sin-sick, sin-stained world. He promised to send the Messiah to release Israel from the bondage of sin and their bondage in life and to restore their joy. So now I want you to picture in your mind's eye a huge, massive candelabras, menorahs, giving out an incredible amount of light. This auditorium here is just like a little drop in a bucket compared to all the hundreds of thousands of people. And it's a huge event. And the men of Israel have traveled for miles to come to this. In fact, they were required to come. And this is the light that would be seen for several miles. And the significance of this light was that the Messiah would come and deliver them, and his influence and his power would parallel the Shekinah glory, which showed itself in a huge pillar of fire at night as the children of Israel traveled. The light, the big light, was symbolic of God's protection. It was symbolic of heaven. It was symbolic of prosperity. It was symbolic of joy and gladness. It was symbolic of fellowship with God. It was a symbol of abundant life in the Messiah. So listen to what Jesus now says to the thousands of people standing in awe at the awesome amount of light coming from these candelabras. John 8:12. See, the water was John 7, and now he goes, and I believe it's just hours later, to chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." First, if it's the water, come to me and you'll never thirst. Now, it's I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's like, folks, remember the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel through the wilderness by night? Remember the pillar of fire that stood in the way of the Egyptians near the Red Sea? The Shekinah glory that came upon the temple for centuries? Remember that? That's me. That's me. I'm the light of the world. I am the Shekinah glory. I am God. I'm the one who protected you people in the wilderness. I'm the one that guided you. I'm the one that came into Solomon's temple and filled the temple with light and glory. I am the Shekinah glory of God. You see, when a person places his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's placed into the light. He's taken out of the realm of sin and evil and ignorance. He's put into the realm of light. That's why Jesus said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." If you truly know me, he said, you're going to live your lifestyle in the light. Now, not only is Jesus the light of the world, now he says, we, or ye, are the light of the world. The idea is, Matthew 5:16, with Jesus working in and through us, we will then impact the world through Christ. Listen to what he says, Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What's he saying to them? Allow your light, your testimony, allow your spirit-filled, word-filled life to influence, to shine before men, to be visible before men, to be seen publicly. He's basically saying, now that you're in the light, you need to be a good testimony for me in the world. Why? So they can see your light and want to know me. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so now at Christmas time, Christmas Eve, tonight, we want to take this opportunity to illustrate, to put on illustration, the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, what has he done? He supernaturally turned the light on in your heart and life by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's called illumination. And he wants us now to go into the world. He wants us now to go out and make disciples of all men, light to light, to light to light. He wants us to be brightly shining lights. Now, what we're going to do is we want to put on display just that. The way God works in our lives to reach a world for Christ, one light at a time. And we're going to light in just a few minutes, one candle at a time. Let me just give instruction. Children, third grade and under, will have a little battery-operated light. Parents, you help. Amen. Those fourth and older, they're now young adults, of course, fourth grade and older, can take a candle per instruction from their parents. And the men will come in just a minute, and they will light the first candle. They'll light it here at the front. And then they will help. They'll light the first candle there in the aisle. And then you'll turn. You'll light the next person, the next person, the next person. And you'll see how one by one, the illustration here is of the gospel spreading as we share the good news of Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And the men at the end then will come down and help you light the next row back, and then it will come in. And then you will have somebody helping you, I believe, in the middle. And they'll help you, and you'll turn and light it. It goes around like that. And as the candles are being lit, Pastor Jono is going to lead us in a time of worship, a time of singing Christmas songs, a time of reading the scripture, different scriptures. Some of the men will be involved. Now picture what's going on in Israel now. Picture the illumination of the huge candelabra. Picture everything going hush, shh, as they worship Jehovah God and the coming Messiah. Now we worship Jehovah God and the fact that he came in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.